It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Remember the warmth of last December when people were milling about in shorts and t-shirts on Christmas Eve, expressing a love for climate change? Well, it's no laughing matter. According to NASA, 2015 was the hottest year ever recorded, breaking the previous record set in, wait for it, 2014. As we observe Earth Day, we've invited Joylette Portlock, president of Communitopia, a nonprofit based in Pittsburgh, focusing on climate change, to update us on the latest efforts to combat this global concern. Joylette Portlock, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
As we mentioned in the introduction, the year 2015, according to NASA, was the warmest recorded since 2014. Do you think we'll continue seeing a rise in the global temperature?
Yes. So the record that was broken in 2015 was, as you mentioned, set all the way back in 2014, which was, you know, clearly not ancient history. That is the trend. The trend is warming since the start of the Industrial Revolution. And, you know, 97% of climate scientists and every science academy in the world agrees that the reason for that trend is people, specifically our burning of fossil fuels for energy and heat and transportation. So, yeah, the trend is going up. And that doesn't mean it's going up every year. It just gets continuously warmer. There's some, you know, fluctuations. Some years are cooler. But the overall trend is definitely that it's going up. 15 out of the 16 hottest years on record have happened since the year 2000, which, you know, there's only been 15 years since the year 2000.
Right. Earlier this year, NASA, on a Facebook post, shut down climate deniers. Would you tell us about how they did this?
That was pretty, I thought, pretty wonderful. They used their secret weapon of the truth. So
The secret weapon.
So, you know, people who refuse to accept the scientific evidence about climate change, they often cherry pick the data. They often misrepresent the science to confirm their own position and to spread the doubt. So this was an instance where the scientists spoke out directly and didn't let that happen and just restated the actual science and the findings. And it was great to see that kind of direct communication happening from the scientists in that channel to meet people really where they are having the discussions in the moment.
Climate change isn't just about the weather. What other factors are impacting the planet?
Well, there isn't a system on the planet that isn't impacted by climate change. You know, we talk a lot about, and people hear a lot about, not just extreme weather events increasing, but sea level rise, species extinction, all sorts of impacts. There was actually just a report released by the 13 federal agencies that put together the National Climate Assessment, which also agrees with the consensus that man-made climate change is a problem that we need to deal with. But this report was specifically talking about the health impacts, not just in some distant future to some other people, but the health impacts that are already being seen and will be increasingly evident right here. Everything from, you know, changes in spread of infectious disease to dealing with heat-related mortality to, you know, increased amounts of air pollution, which forms more easily in the heat, you know, all things that we've talked about here in Allegheny County as well, all the way down to mental health effects of dealing with these traumatic shifts in the systems.
And what are the mental health effects?
The obvious things is there are increased problems in the systems, and, you know, there's increased risk of injury and increased risk of these other things are happening. You know, the toll mentally can be significant as far as, you know, depression, anxiety, you know, increases in those kinds of problems. And as with every other health problem, you know, it's the people that have the least, that have the potential to be impacted the most. It's the most vulnerable who are, you know, kind of easy pickings. That was also an interesting thing to come out of that report, too. They talked distinctly about disparities in all of these impacts in the populations that are affected.
Earlier this week, the New York Times reported liberal biases may block progress to climate change. We're used to hearing about conservative opposition to climate change. Do you think political divisions are impacting efforts to do something about climate change?
I think that anytime we get into a place where we're talking about ingraining a distrust of science as part of our political identity, we get into problems. It's been shown in multiple places that tendency towards a distrust of science is stronger among those who are conservative or who identify as conservative than among those who identify as liberal. But certainly you can look at the anti-vaccination movement or anti-GMO movement to talk about places where that is seen on the liberal side. I think personally, as a culture, we're not going to make it very far if we abandon our efforts to learn about things through evidence and observation and deal with our problems from an evidence-based place. I think when it comes to climate change, accepting a distrust of science as part of our political identity is dangerous, and that we should let the scientists do the science and let the politicians handle policy. If we want to have a partisan debate in this arena, I think that that's really about what the solution should be, not whether we have a problem or not.
How should journalists handle this, in your view?
Well, specifically in the example of climate change, I think to treat it responsibly, the debate over the science should be represented as the debate among scientists. The popular opinions about climate change are far, far, far more divided. You know, 97% of climate scientists are in agreement on this. So to present it as an equally weighted argument, I think, is to misrepresent the situation a little bit.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and Joylette Portlock is my guest. She's president of Communitopia, a nonprofit based in Pittsburgh focusing on climate change. And we thought she would be a good person to have with us on Earth Day, which is today. And from the devastating floods happening down south to the storms out west, the news isn't all bad. What signs did you see in 2015 that world leaders are taking climate change seriously?
Well, 2015 was really a great year in some ways on the international scale as far as international movement. It was the first year that we really saw, there was some run up to this in 2014, but we really saw the U.S. out front in a leadership role, making agreements with the other major polluters and major developing countries, bringing everybody to the table. We had announcements of the U.S. and China coming to agreements, the U.S. and India coming to agreements. We had the finalization of our Clean Power Plan, which is now in the midst of legal challenge, but that was finalized last August. And we saw Pope Francis came out and made the moral argument for promoting climate action, which was really great. And then all of that leading up to the climate change, UN climate change meeting that happened in Paris in December, where every country came together and agreed on keeping global warming to a certain level and making commitments to get there for each country. So that was really significant. And the agreement is, according to scientists, not by itself going to get us where we need to be. I mean, we need to do more. We need to go further. But the fact that we had that kind of movement at the international scale, that this was something that really moved forward, was really very significant.
China seems to be talking the talk, but people are skeptical about whether they will walk the walk, whether they will actually stick to their word about making an effort to deal with the pollution, which in China is exponentially worse than what it is here. So what are your feelings about the Chinese, and do you think that we should trust that they will stick to their commitment, that they will be true to their word, or do there need to be other things in place to make sure that they comply with the standards that other countries in the world, like the U.S., are saying we need to adhere to?
I think that the Chinese have shown actually quite a bit of leadership on this issue in recent years. You know, their investment in renewable energy is at several points has been more than ours by, you know, a factor of two. They've really seemed to embrace the idea that this is going to be the way of the future and this is going to be, you know, how they need to develop. And it remains to be seen how they get there. They certainly need to be encouraged to get there, but you could say the same thing about us, honestly. Is it the U.S. or is it China? Argument has been going back for a while.
Well, true, but we don't have that many people walking around on the streets of our cities with masks over their face like we're seeing in places like Beijing.
Well, that's true currently. And that's a factor of lots of different kinds of pollution that isn't, I mean, that's not necessarily exactly what we're talking about when we talk about their commitments to climate agreements. It's symptomatic, obviously, of the pollution that results from burning fossil fuels. And that's something, you know, that we've seen here in Pittsburgh, too, in the past.
Long ago. although Pittsburgh does remain one of the top 10, I think, most polluted cities in America. So let's talk about Pittsburgh. What are you seeing happening on the clean energy front here, which is having a positive impact on the environment?
Well, here, generally speaking, here in the U.S., certainly renewable energy is our fastest growing energy sector. And, you know, it's setting all kinds of records. And one thing that I think was very encouraging was that 2014, for instance, globally was the first year that the worldwide economy grew, but our carbon pollution didn't. So there was a decoupling for the first time in 40 some years that of this, you know, this trend. You know, we have this idea that we can only get economic progress if we continue to burn as many fossil fuels as we can. And that's not the case. And it's starting to be borne out that there are ways to have economic success and actually start to make good on some of these commitments. So I certainly, you know, Pittsburgh has made great strides, and there's a lot more potential here, I think, for the expansion of the renewable industry.
While we're placing a lot of responsibility on governments and businesses, what can individuals do to have a positive impact on the climate?
Well, there are a lot of actions that individuals can take, you know, to conserve energy in your own life. And we talk about a lot of these on our website, which is communitopia.org. And there's a lot that individuals can do to learn about these issues and honestly just talk about them. Having the national conversation, having the conversations with friends and family, you know, about this issue, about the science, about the need for action is really so important for making sure that we have the support we need to get these policies in place. As you mentioned, we've had record heat. We had an early and very warm spring here in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in many cases, that is a cause for celebration. I'm certainly happy. I'm out there running around with my kids. And none of this is to say we shouldn't take advantage of that. But I think that we also need to connect that to the larger warming trend and recognize that trend in the long term is detrimental, certainly globally and definitely here as well. So we need to enjoy the warm weather, but also support climate action.
And as far as the things that individuals can do, maybe one of those things could be to look into having an electric car?
Yeah, I just, my family just got a Volt this past summer. Our old car was done, and we got a Volt, and it's great. Driving an electric car is wonderful. But, you know, there are many things that people can do, from, you know, turning down your water heater to, you know, trying to drive whatever car you have more efficiently.
Biking,
you know, things that are good for wellness in general can also help. You know, we talk about a lot of these. We have a video series which is about climate called Don't Just Sit There, Do Something, where we treat the subject both practically and with humor. And we always include actions that individuals can take. And that's, again, you can get to that through our website, communitopia.org, or by going directly to djst.tv for don't just sit there.tv. That's my plug. But it's we really try to, you know, provide people with the tools to make an impact and to, you know, meet people where they are and really make this information accessible.
We've been talking with Joylette Portlock. She's president of Communitopia, a nonprofit based in Pittsburgh focusing on climate change. And it's been good to have her here on this Earth Day. Joylette Portlock, thanks again for coming back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and happy Earth Day, everybody.